Welcome to Real Estate Coaching Radio, starring award-winning real estate coaches and number one international best-selling authors, Tim and Julie Harris. Real Estate Coaching Radio is the nation's number one daily radio show for realtors who demand authentic real-time coaching. Get ready for fluff-free, unfiltered, full-strength honesty about what's truly working to get you into action, helping others, and making money now in today's real estate market. Now to our hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
3, 2, 1, and we're back, and finally!
Finally.
I feel like there should be a big, like a musical something, you know, bum, bum, bum.
I know. We're there. Finally, the final round of podcasts, which are all about predictions for what we're all looking forward to, 2021.
2021 predictions. And we have been working on these predictions, as a lot of you know, for probably about a month. And we've written some of these down. We've tossed them out. We've, you know, polished them up. We've replaced them. But I think these are predictions that you can take to the bank. For the most part, I don't think we're getting too ahead of our skis with any of these predictions, and what we are searching for is information that was tactical and practical. We don't want to just throw some, you know, predictions out there that you guys can't then use to help other people and obviously make money. So these predictions are specifically designed with two things in mind. One, to basically share with you what we think is going to happen in the future, but also then take some of this content and repurpose it for yourself. Share this information with your real estate clients. If you're involved in any kind of media syndication, content creation, do it yourself. Use these points. I did, and Julie and I did, we created these points for you guys then to use this information to help other people. Help us do what our life's purpose, our professional life's purpose is, which is being a service to all of you. And the only real way that we're service to all of you is if you then in turn use this information to help other people. Especially if you're a broker, if you're an office manager, if you're any sort of leadership role in the real estate industry, I think you're going to love what we're going to share with you over probably the next 2 or 3 days. Because as you guys know, longtime listeners, Julie and I cannot stop ourselves from telling stories. It's not enough for us just to tell you some statistical thing. We're going to probably not be able to resist the temptation to talk about one of you, a listener or a coaching client. And by the way, listeners, if you're not coaching clients yet, what the heck are you thinking? I mean, really?
I don't know what they're thinking, especially this time of year where it's a great, you know, New Year's resolution. So
what we just did a quick newsflash podcast on how to apply and obtain your PPP loan. And all of you should be listening to that podcast urgently and taking action on it even quicker, because the PPP loans, like before, are going to go super fast. So if you've not yet listened to that podcast, it's called Newsflash, How to Apply for Your PPP Loan, or whatever the title was. So make sure you listen to that. And of course, this podcast is available everywhere, every single podcast playing device. We are on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, everywhere in between, and also directly on our main website, timandjulieharris.com. So go and listen to all the past podcasts. And if you're looking for direction and inspiration for your 2021, make sure you are listening to past podcasts, because I think that's going to get your head right for the new year. And before we get to point number one, I want to remind all of you, it's not too late for you to complete your real estate treasure map. Your real estate treasure map is our way of saying your business and life plan. All you have to do is text 2021 to 855-685-1045. Text the numbers 2021 to 855-685-1045. And when you do, we're going to text you back immediately a link, and you're then going to click that link, and it's going to take you to our website. And within our website, you're going to be able to then directly download not just the Real Estate Treasure Map, but Think and Grow Rich for Real Estate, your 12-month lead generation plan, Think and Grow Rich for Real Estate. Did I already say that? I think I just
you
did.
Might have, but
yeah,
that's okay.
And the Real Estate Treasure Map. Anyway, 7 free books. Guys, go ahead and download those. The 2 books that are most urgent that you pay attention to are going to be the Real Estate Treasure Map, because that is your fill-in-the-blank business plan. And we did do a series of podcasts on how to complete that, so go back and listen to those. And you also have, of course, the Think and Grow Rich for Real Estate, and that is based on Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. And we're using the public domain book for any of you, who are overly particular about that. So in any event, we're going to get to our predictions now and write these things down, share them with other people. And I want to just start out, if you don't want to listen to all 15 points, or it's going to end up probably being about 20 points, if you don't listen to all 20 points the next 3 days, I'm going to tell you a summary of all the points. You ready for it? Are they ready, Julie?
I hope so.
Do you think they're ready?
No.
I don't think they're ready either. So if you've ever wondered what it's felt like to be in the right place at the right time, it's how you feel right now. That is really the bottom line. And if you're saying, what are you talking about, Tim? I'm still, you know, I'm getting over my holiday stupor, getting ready for my next one because New Year's is right around the corner. Well, that's fine. But this is what it feels like to be in the right place at the right time. And none of it means a thing unless you take the right actions. And the right actions are going to be what we're going to expose you to throughout this podcast. And of course, if you've been listening to our past podcast, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But we're going to deliver these points to you in our usual, you know, no BS, drilled down, direct, practical, tactical fashion. Point number one, I'll read this first one, okay?
Okay, you got it.
All right, since it's basically just a bunch of gobbledygook. Okay. I won't, though I should try to get you to read that because it'll, you know.
It's up to you.
You want
to,
all right, yeah. Go for it, lady.
That's right. And before I get to this first point, and there will be many to follow, I don't want to hear from any of you that you don't know what to say to your past client's center of influence. We're giving it to you right here to start out the year. Okay. Prediction number one, real estate markets from coast to coast will be hotter than ever, brought on by incredibly low interest rates and a new great migration demographic rocket fuel.
Right. So again, these are just my outline. Mm-hmm. So great migration is a phrase I came up with today.
Yeah.
So great migration is, I think, what they're going to start calling it. And mm-hmm. I haven't read this anywhere, but watch. It'll be an iteration of that because that is truly what's happening. And we've been talking with all of you guys on the podcast about this. The last time there was a move from essentially into the cities, that was during the Industrial Revolution. People were moving from the country into the city. They're moving away from the rural environments to move to the city to get jobs. Guys, that was about 1 billion years ago. And nowadays, there wasn't expected to be any sort of movement away from that trend continuing. There are books, theories, whole, you know, economic principles were based on the idea that the world would just be basically made up of like 15 different megacities and everything else that wasn't in a megacity would just be forgotten about, a dust bowl in essence. If you guys have ever watched dystopian movies, you know, movies that have a not so rosy prediction of the future, that's always how the future is painted, where you'll have these big, huge, you know, mostly, you know, gluttonous city centers and everyone outside the city center. Sometimes in these dystopian movies, it was literally outside of a wall where essentially they're forgotten about people. Well, guess what? But all of that is seemingly wrong because now what people are doing is they're fleeing the cities and the great migration away from the cities, reversing that decades long or even like how hundreds of years.
Yeah.
That trend is now reversing, and that's incredible. Add to the shift the mindset about what owning a home truly means post-COVID. 2021 will mark the start of a 5 to 10 year surge in demand for homes. The party's just getting started is what we're trying to tell you. 2021 will see more home sales than any other year since 2006, an increase of 20% plus on top of 2020's increase of 5%. Not only will Americans continue to buy homes to reflect their shifting working and lifestyle choices and options, U.S. mortgage-backed securities will become increasingly attractive to international investors. In other words, there's going to be more available mortgage money. That's really the reason I added that. The homeownership rate in the U.S. will surpass 69% for the first time since 2005, despite all home builders frantically trying to catch up and compensate the accumulated building deficit from 2008 through 2019. In other words, the builders are not going to be able to keep up. The builders are going to eventually catch up with the market, but from everything I've studied, it's not going to be for maybe 3 to 5 years. That's how long it's going to take them to make up for the homes that they should have otherwise been building. Let's see, where was I? Oh, 2020 seller's market will continue into 2021, while new home starts will increase by 9% on top of the increasing starts in 2020. I'm going to add something here. Until new construction really is booming again, and it's going to be booming in places like Austin, but until builders can catch up with demand, you're not going to see a shift away from this almost manic inflation in prices. Because if someone wants a house, they're stuck with a resale house. Nothing wrong with that. I didn't mean to make that sound adversarial. But they don't have the options that they would have. In most parts of the country, there isn't an abundant supply of new construction available yet. But when that changes, then you're going to start seeing people move. And this is what almost always happens, from an older home into a newer home. And obviously, then you have the other, you know, new buyers and whatnot that will enter the market as well. And by near the end of 2021, more existing homeowners will come into the market as sellers, thus offering buyers and choices. And so this is, in essence, what I was just saying. As more new construction hits the market, you'll hypothetically see more inventory coming available. For loan officers, I thought this was a fun fact, third quarter of 2020's highest loan volume in 13 years will endure into 2021. With continuing high demand for mortgage refinancing, it take advantage of low interest rates. Now, it was funny, Julie, when I was writing this, I was obviously doing a lot of research. That's the reason these thoughts don't flow perfectly.
That's okay. It's but all topical.
Right. I was reading 2020's predictions from National Association of Realtors, and it was hilarious because pretty much every single, God bless you guys at National Association of Realtors, we love you, but pretty much every single one of their predictions was wrong. But, it, to, you know, I'm going to make an
but
excuse for them.
Who would have known, right?
Who would have known, exactly. Yeah. But they were expecting interest rates to rise. They were expecting home, essentially.
Inventory to rise.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Essentially, they were expecting some return to normalcy, but so did we.
We did too. That's
right.
True.
A lot of our predictions last year were very similar to what theirs were because it looked like we were at the end of this big housing boom.
Yes. And, you know, even during the beginning of the pandemic, say mid-February to mid-April, people were really freaking out that what was going to really happen to the real estate market. Nobody knew. So predictions became a little bit crazy, right? Remember when I remember I was watching the Texas inventory and for, I don't know, probably 3 weeks in a row, the daily report of new listings was like less than 10.
Oh,
I know. There was nothing. It was like crickets.
But let's save the stories. I know you want to roll
well,
on. I want
you to, go ahead.
I want you to talk about Anna and Austin,
the guy you talked to the other day.
Yep. But let's make sure we choose our places to tell our stories most appropriately. Can you, did you read ahead to know what I'm going to try to get you to? Okay. So these are basically just essentially cliff notes. This isn't actually an article. So Julie's going to have to patch this work together, but I think you can do it.
Okay. So we'll prediction number two, the great migration will increase in intensity. The news is reporting that, quote, the rich leaving the high tax states. But the reality is that the migration may have started with the rich, but won't end there. Anyone with the ability to live where they want to live, not where they have to live because of a job, for example, will consider leaving. Texas, Florida, Tennessee, and other tax-free states are beneficiaries, followed by places in the mountains, on water. Lifestyle and quality of life will become the critical decision-making algorithm. People want to move out of buildings into homes with yards, and we expect hyper-speed gentrification to increase in 2021.
Let's use this, right? So this is a good place. Remember, so Julie and I are in Miami recently, and we went to a restaurant in this part of town that everyone told us was basically a very shady part of town. Well, we're on this rooftop having drinks with all of our friends, and one of the guys there that was a fantastic agent, developer, just this sort of, you know, this polymath of real estate, basically, he pointed out just this whole area surrounding where we were in this restaurant, he said was for years the worst place to live in all of Miami. Then he said BlackRock, I think it was BlackRock, recently just bought, in essence, the entire damn area. And he said it was the biggest residential transaction to ever happen in all of Miami, in Miami's history.
And currently, I think he also said it was the most expensive cost per, I don't know if he did per acre or per square foot, but the most expensive land.
It was acre or something. Yeah. So that's an example of what Julie just read. So what you're seeing are massive developers, and, you know, BlackRock, for example, they're going to come in and they're going to essentially gentrify this whole area inside Miami and turn it from where it's a very undesirable place to live. Like we were, you know, people were, when Julie and I were trying to leave, people were saying, where are you guys going to go? And Julie and I like to go on walks and it looked like there was this nice, you know, sort of, you know, nice area to walk. And they go, oh no, you don't want to walk down there.
Like, no, not yet. Nope.
Okay.
Not for you.
But that's the point though. In these areas of the country, because of real estate demand and because people moving away from the cities, they're in the buildings and the densely populated areas, they're going to start looking for versions of, you know, essentially it's all going to be predicated on the proximity for a lot of time, a lot of people, the driving distance to the major metropolitan areas. But in this area of Miami, and there's areas like this around every single, you know, major city in the United States where these areas have been forgotten about, it looks like they're going to be rekindled. And this is not a story that I read anywhere. This is only a story.
I thought it was pretty interesting. And we saw it ourselves.
And well, we heard this from an insider. This information we're sharing with all of you. So that sounds to me like it's the start of a mega trend. Because I think BlackRock, I think we got this right. They're the largest holder of residential homes in the world right now. Right. Good. So real or imagined social unrest will only lead to the great migration trend increasing pace, flattening home prices in California and New York and San Francisco and Manhattan and other areas, obviously, continue to take the biggest hits as remote workers continue to exit these markets. So here's your big takeaway from point number two. The trend that started in earnest, people were saying because of COVID, people are leaving the cities because they don't want to be around other people with COVID. That may have been part of the reason that people were leaving. But in areas like Manhattan, they were leaving anyway. In areas like San Francisco, people were looking for an excuse to leave. And so this is a good place to interject. In every market in the country that were considered B markets, like, for example, these areas we just read to you, New York, San Francisco, Manhattan, those were all A markets. Areas like Austin were considered B markets. But here's what's happening in places like Austin. Because so many people are leaving these very expensive areas, and they're leaving because of all the reasons that you think of, obviously state taxes, but also just a sense of wanting to not have that lifestyle anymore. That's the thing that's being underreported. People are not wanting to live in a congested area anymore. Yes, maybe because of COVID, but also because in areas like California, you have essentially tent cities. I was actually talking with someone, one of our friends back in Austin, mm-hmm. and they said that there's tons of new, essentially tent cities that are creeping up all around downtown yeah. Austin. Well, people don't want to live in those environments, and so that they move. And now that the COVID thing has caused people and companies to say it's okay to have remote workers. And matter of fact, it seems like remote workers might be more efficient than having people come to the office. And then people are saying, well, that means I don't have to live in one of these expensive areas
That's
anymore.
That's exactly it.
I can move. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, in Austin.
Yes, in Austin. So a great coaching client, Anna Lee, who is handling lots of luxury, by all means, high-end Austin real estate. Okay, so she was talking about how very recently, I guess I was hearing from her maybe a month ago starting, but I had a call with her yesterday. They're having like tons of people from California. They're coming in, they're driving the prices not just a little bit up.
We'll give a real example.
For example, there was a listing that they had last year for sale for $11 million. That didn't end up selling, and this year recently it just sold. I think she told me $22 million, doubling, especially in that price range, right. is pretty unusual. And I asked her; she gave me some other examples of similar pricing, and she said it's 100% California people. And even when we were living in Texas, I don't know if you remember this, we used to visit the builders to see what the new construction was, and we would always ask them, who are your buyers? Because real estate is all we do. And they said at least 30% are coming from California. Now, that was pre-pandemic. So now we have this big upsurge. It's competitive. We're driving prices up. And definitely the migration is coming out. And she said a lot of it was from San Francisco as well.
Well, California folks have enjoyed some, in many areas, incredible appreciation or inflation in their real estate.
Sure.
And they're seeing the writing on the wall and they're hitting the eject
button. And if we're being honest, even though Austin has become quite an expensive area, it's still what you get for, say, $20 million in Austin is still probably going to smoke what you used to get in California for that.
But let's dissect that, right? Mm-hmm. So we used to live in Georgetown, which was north of Austin by, 45 minutes?
30 miles.
30 miles, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you could, going to Austin because the traffic was more than 45 minutes, but sure. I mean, in essence, it was 30 miles. Those are the areas in the country where I would be
Absolutely.
Investing. The areas that are outside of the major metro areas.
I mean, look at our experience in Murphy, North Carolina,
That's what I was about
okay,
to say.
Which is not exactly the most convenient place, okay? You can drive from major areas like Atlanta, but anywhere, any city you choose going towards Murphy, which is semi-rural, is going to be 2 hours.
You're stepping on points, but that's it. So, but you can get to Asheville an hour, Atlanta's, 2 hours. You can get to all these other areas within an hour to 2 hours.
Right.
Those are the areas that are going to see the most inflation or appreciation.
But had you taken Murphy a year or a year and a half ago and driven through and said, does this look like a really hot market to you? You probably would say, no, this is a little rural. I'm not sure that's going to be something that's going to be competitive. There's almost no inventory.
We're stepping on points, but what you're saying is exactly where the trends are going to continue. Any mm-hmm. place where people have voluntarily gone to vacation are going to become the hottest markets to live.
That's
because
right.
people are going to stop saying, I'm just going to go to the mountains in North Carolina, for 2 weeks of the year. I'm going to live there. And now that my boss or my employer, or even maybe I'm self-employed, allows me the flexibility and the mobility, and now that connectivity is caught up with people's natural desires to get away from those congested areas, that is part of the great migration. All right, next point. Okay, so next point. Owning rental property will put a target on your back. Point number three. Owning rental property will put a target on your back. State taxes, property taxes will only increase. fallout from this is all from the fallout from COVID. And just to explain this, the states and the cities, many of which were operating on a deficit as it was, but just essentially they were relying on property taxes to make ends meet. In some states, property taxes backstop things like teachers unions and whatnot. So now that the essentially these cities were they are also getting sales tax, right? And when these cities essentially were shut down effectively, they lost major sources of revenue. All kinds of different things. Like if you were in a city where toll booths, a state or a city where toll booths and whatnot were a source of income, but the toll booths weren't being used because people weren't driving, well, there was a source of income.
Well, hospitality taxes from hotels.
Exactly.
And like that.
All these different sources of income were lost for all these essentially city and states. And so what they're already doing and is going to happen is they're going to increase property taxes. Why property taxes? Because it's not voluntary, right? Because they don't have to. So 2021, let's say it takes to the end of the year for us to finally say COVID is in the rearview mirror. I don't think it's going to take that long, but let's just say worst case scenario. Truthfully, what we're seeing, and we're going to talk about this in an upcoming point, it looks to me like for the most part, the COVID crisis is going to be behind us by the end of first quarter because of the fact that the vaccine is so widely distributed. And even then, it was Andrew Fauci that said, even if the essentially herd immunity will be reached by the end of the summer anyway. So this COVID thing will finally be over, but that means these cities and states are still going to be in various forms of lockdown. Even if you're not in a state or a city that has lockdown, you're still going to be dealing with a heck of a lot fewer, people spending money and tourists and all these other things. You guys understand. We don't need to belabor this. But the moral of the story is these cities and these, these states, they're going to be going to you, rental property owners, to basically, essentially get as much money out of you as possible. Expect more states to tax investors in many ways. And I want you to tell the story about Ohio making us register our rentals. Mm-hmm. They will make you register your rentals, and then our prediction is they're going to start figuring out ways to tax your gross monthly income like sales tax. All right, go ahead.
Yes, so a lot of places, us included with our rentals in Columbus, you, as the owner, get a little letter in the mail saying, and I'm not sure exactly how they figure this out. But
you thought it was a scam.
I did for the longest time. I'm like, this is stupid. So it's a form saying, fill this out. We think you have a rental property. What is your out-of-state address? What's the tenant's names? Contact information for everyone, down to email addresses and social security numbers, the whole nine. And if you don't, quote, register that by sending in this form, then your property tax is going to go up. Right now, they're charging like $150 every 6 months or something like that. But you know that's a precursor because most people are going to fill that out. And then what's the next step after that? We'll see. So,
well, that's obviously what they're going
to do. Yeah, and that's in addition to, I'm already seeing property taxes go up on most of them anyway.
Now,
that goes hand in hand with property values going up, of course, being driven by all the points we previously talked about.
Well, but that's, all these things are essentially, this is like a good side, but then there's a bad side, right?
That's it.
So property taxes are going to increase, but so are your everything else, property values are increasing. But that means your property taxes are going to increase. Mm-hmm. Are you going to be able to increase your rents as quick? Well, it looks like the cities and states are laying the groundwork to figure out a way to start taxing the income. And it's not going to be off your net. It's going to be off your revenue. And then what's that going to do? It's going to increase rents because property most
of course, you'll just pass it on to the tenant.
That's what's going to happen.
And because leases are almost as scarce as purchases, most tenants probably will end up paying that. But I can tell you the flip side to that. Whenever we lose a tenant, it's always because they're buying a house.
Right.
So at a certain point, there's that parity point of you keep on raising the tenant's rent, and they can go out and get a low interest rate mortgage. They're going to eventually bail because the mortgage is going to be less than the rent.
Assuming they can find something
to buy. Assuming they can even find something.
Right.
But that's who I'm losing them to right now.
Right.
Sometimes new construction.
And that does it make sense to own property? I didn't have this as a point, but absolutely it does. I think more so than any time that Julie and I have been paying attention to real estate, which is basically 30 years. It makes more sense to own a home now. And I'll even say this, and maybe I should wait to the inflation point, but I'll just reiterate it then. Unlike the advice we've been giving even in our books and everything we've been saying for 20 plus years as real estate coaches, the reality of it is that I can't even say it, I'm stammering, right? The reality of it is having a mortgage, right? Reality of having a mortgage on your property right now makes sense because the interest rates are so low. When you can borrow money less than 3%, 30 years fixed, you'd be almost nuts not to basically do that and put that money to work someplace else. It just, it doesn't make sense. Now, when you factor in inflation, which is essentially a lot of agents will call it appreciation, but it's truly inflation. Again, we'll drill down on this point maybe tomorrow. But the reality of it is the property will inflate in value faster at a higher rate rather than what you're going to be spending on the interest on the loan. So, for example, we are reading you guys the predictions of what's going to happen with home sales. And obviously, that's going to increase the essentially the cost of homes. So if your interest rate is, 2.75% or something, ridiculously low, and the home appreciates 7 or 8 or 9%, that's called free money for you. That means you've lived in that house for free. Now you have to then factor in the property tax. Taxes and the HOA if you've got one and all the other Mickey Mouse. But there's never been a better time to be a property owner. That's extraordinary.
Yes.
And so I think a lot of people know that. If they don't know it from, from financial reasons, like I just loosely laid out, they just know it from the fact of fear of missing out. They know that everyone else is buying, they should buy too. And that trend is just going to continue.
Yes. It's going to be, we'll spin this into what you guys are supposed to do about it, of course. But it's all about being the listing agent and having the inventory.
Okay, so, a new point number four. Demographics are your friends. So here's what's going on. There is everyone talks about this, but how to make this information practical. There are more millennials. Like, people like to talk about the millennials are missing out on the best years to basically accumulate equity in their homes. And I think that's true. I think real estate's gotten a lot too expensive, or not too expensive, but it's gotten expensive. I think a lot of these guys are carrying student loans. But guess what? That was the same situation when Julie and I got married when we were, how old were we?
21 and 20.
Yeah. Yeah, 20. Yeah. So when we got married and we bought our first house when we were 22 and 23.
Yes.
Right? We had student loan debt.
We did.
And that little dinky house we bought seemed like it was a lot of money.
Well, let me think about this. Our student loan payment was probably about 75% of our mortgage payment.
Yeah, there you go.
So, I mean, it's just all relative, right?
Right.
That's all still true.
What is all true? We sure as hell weren't making as much, 20 years ago as, maybe someone graduating from college now can make, or if they apply themselves. So look, you can have your own opinion on all this as much as you want to, but the reality of it is real estate's expensive. A lot of these, millennials are carrying a lot of debt. These things are all true. But what we're starting to see is despite those things, obviously millennials are, they're getting older. They're going to start forming families. They're going to not want to live in these little condos and whatnot anymore. They want to, they need space. They need yards. The demographics are going to push the home prices and the demand for homes even higher. And then you have people that are slightly older than Julie and I, and then the baby boomers, Julie and I are Generation X, who are downsizing. And so if you add just the sheer number of people that are downsizing baby boomers, and they're essentially buying their first homes and maybe upsizing millennials. A lot of these millennials are moving on to their second homes. Just the sheer volume of demand is going to be something It's massive. It's something this country's never experienced
before.
And
you're not even talking about investors like BlackRock or international or, national investors that are looking at the U.S. housing market as something that's more solid than perhaps what they've seen in the past. You're not even considering all of those people, too.
But here's the other thing. And again, I don't want to jump on my inflation point that's going to be tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But why are so many people buying real estate? Because they're looking for a hedge against the hypothetical devaluing of the U.S. dollar. Mm-hmm. Cue Peter Schiff.
Yes.
But the reality of it is that's inevitably going to happen because of all the dollars printing. Mm-hmm. It was, I think, $294 billion is being put into the Paycheck Protection Program. That means every single one of you that apply, for the most part, are going to receive, money. And that money is coming from somewhere. It's coming from, essentially the future. And that money is going to have to be repaid in some form or another. It's going to be repaid through inflation. And we're going to talk about that inflation point probably tomorrow. So where are all these buyers going to buy? They're not going to be buying in the city. We already know mass migration is going to force a lot of these guys to look elsewhere. So point number five, flyover states no more. Now there'll be the fly to states, rural, semi-rural, any area that's maybe within two hours of a major metropolitan area are going to be hot. Now I added that in, but it's not necessarily like if you have the ability to be a complete mobile worker, which many of you do or know people do, have clients that do, you're going to, people aren't going to be restricted to living within 2 hours of a major metropolitan area. Wherever people want to go on vacations, the point I made earlier, is where they're going to live, not just visit. And here's the thing that's really fascinating. This is what's really going to free up people from the shackles of living and the ways that they have been forced to be for basically employment reasons, but not just employment reasons. They were, I have to live in this particular area because of schools and because of maybe, all these other reasons, right? And broadband is what's changing all of it. And I know, oh gosh, Tim's going to talk about 5G only for a second. So I want you to write these things down, guys. I want you to explore this on your own, and then you'll understand why Julie and I think this is going to be one of the greatest times of change in, you know, in human history with regards to housing. Broadband is no longer an issue, which means people can live and work everywhere. 5G is essentially just the start of true high-speed internet. There's already something in place that's going to replace 5G. And 5G is going to replace any kind of, for example, like T-Mobile 5G home. Did you guys know that? Did you know that you can have a 5G connection in your home? In other words, you don't have to have a rely on cable anymore. It's not available in Puerto Rico yet, but it's going to be next year. And I promise you, we're going to get it urgently. Satellites are also going to provide the internet everywhere. And Elon Musk was involved in a company, or is involved in a company, that's launching satellites. So they're going to put internet, free internet, by the way, everywhere in the most rural areas of the country. And that's the same thing that all these big companies are doing. What this is going to mean is the areas that before people said, I'd love to live there, but I can't because I can't get on the line, or I don't want to rely on a dish or some sort of substandard system to basically have connectivity. And maybe your employer was like, I need you in the office because if you live in rural Kentucky or wherever, we're not going to be able to have constant communication with you as if you were in the office. So you have to stay here in Manhattan, whatever. That's all changing and has changed. And that is going to free more people up, untether more people from these involuntary lifestyles. Well, they've been voluntary, but involuntary effectively. And as soon as they're given an option, obviously this mass migration trend is just going to pick up momentum.
Yeah, and one of the Sunday shows, I was talking about the story, even this is a worldwide thing. There's a story out of the UK about how all these little old cottages that are way out yonder, Cotswold, type of historic cottages and stuff like that, that typically people would have been like, I don't know, that's just way too far. It's totally inconvenient. It's not near the airport. Those are having a resurgence and starting to get, a lot more value out of them than they used to. So it's not just selling at all. It's also selling for a high price because of what you just mentioned.
Yeah, I think it's,
so I think it's fascinating. Actually.
It is fascinating because if you let your mind go and it's like everything else in life. Like you just build up a, you don't feel the monkey on your back. We talked about this on the podcast the other day. Yeah. So you don't feel the omnipresent of a pressure or, what it feels like when you go on vacation, for example, when you and I lived in Columbus, and we lived in a beautiful area in Columbus, but I remember when we would go to areas of the country, do you remember the first time we drove out west?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you remember that emotion?
Yeah,
you couldn't describe it. I remember calling my dad.
Yeah.
How old were you and I? Like 23 and 24.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. We got a Miata. We had this little, what was it? A Marina Blue Miata.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. And we then decided, well, we're in Ohio. Let's drive out to Seattle to visit with my brother. Now, that's a long damn way in a Miata. Let me just put it out there like that. But the experiences we had, obviously, we're telling you guys about it now, were exceptional. Those of you who live in that, Montana sort of big sky area all the way out,
I remember going, what was it, when you cross the Missouri River, I think it is? Where just the landscape just opens up.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, it really does look like that. Like somewhere, because we hadn't seen it yet in person.
Ever.
Except movies or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's always that little skeptic going, oh no, that's an enhanced movie.
Right.
And you look at that and you're like, my gosh, that's incredible.
Remember that very clearly. Yeah. I remember actually calling my dad and I remember saying to him, trying to describe how beautiful it was being in an area where it just expansive openness everywhere you look.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time you and I saw the Milky Way when we were in Montana.
Yeah.
If you guys have never really seen that before, it's Julie's bucket list stuff. Yeah, it's bucket list stuff. But you go online, you say, just Google for an image of the Milky Way. To see that in real life, to actually be able to see the curvature in the sky.
Without binoculars, without a telescope, just looking into the sky.
Right. It's spiritual. Mm-hmm. I mean, it changed my perspective on everything.
Absolutely.
For me, it was very emotional. Mm-hmm. But to experience that every day, if we chose to live there, now Montana wouldn't be for us because there's too much snow.
No, but you'd be there part of the time. Yeah, and that's another micro trend, right? Is that people are going for, we know somebody through
Stepping
EXP that's going to England for 90 days to see how that is. So freedom, I think, is the overriding thought here.
But as soon as people, if you had that little, sort of experience, like what we're describing, maybe you promised yourself you'll always get back there. Maybe like Julie and I, we still fantasize about living. Let's end with a fun story about Montana.
Sure.
All right. So Julie and I went out to Montana. Was this our first or second time we went to Red Lodge?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to tell you guys.
I'm not sure which story because we have so many from that era.
I'm going to tell them the pig racing story.
Oh, yes, the pig races. That's a thing, people. That's a real thing.
Right. So we're gonna end today's podcast, and then tomorrow and probably the next day, we're going to pick up where we left off on predictions. But we're going to talk about pig racing. It's a thing, okay?
Who knew?
All right, so in Red Lodge was this. You guys should Google images of Red Lodge. You just won't believe it. If you guys have ever watched the show Northern Exposure, if you remember that from the 90s.
Yeah, that's Red Lodge.
That's Red Lodge, basically. By the way, we did go to the town where Northern Exposure was filmed, which is quite cool, in the
Very
Miata
cool.
and have pictures.
Yeah. That was a great trip.
Yeah, we went to Chris's radio station, the whole thing.
Super
but
cool.
So we're in Red Lodge, and we're visiting friends. And one of Julie's friends, and this gal actually was an assistant to Julie's dad when Julie was growing up. Her name was Ruth. Her name is Ruth. And Ruth ran the local zoo. This is going to work into a longer story, but it's a good one.
Yeah.
Now, by zoo, we're not talking a zoo like you're thinking. We're talking a zoo.
It's basically full of rescued random animals.
Okay? But not dogs and cats.
Not dogs and cats. These are like, I'll give you a couple of examples. A baby bear that fell out of a tree on his head and is just kind of a little daft, but probably wouldn't make it in the wild.
He's a dopey bear.
He's kind of a dopey bear. Somebody scooped him up, brought him to Ruth. That's what you do, right? I remember a story. This is kind of sad, but ends up good. Okay, so a guy was jogging. In front of him, he saw a deer be hit by a car and immediately give birth to a fawn. The mom deer passed away, but he rescued the fawn. Okay, so he takes the fawn to Ruth. She raises it.
It's a zoo of misfits.
I mean, a zoo of total misfits.
But she had not just these little sort of like nursery rhyme animals. She had freaking massive mountain lions.
Wolves.
She had bobcats. She had wolves. So when we went to visit her the first time, it was, she took us to her zoo at night. And her zoo at night, there's no lights. The animals are supposed to sleep. So we walk up to the entrance, and I remember, I mean, if you want to know what dark is, go to Montana at night,
okay? Yeah.
That's okay. So we walked up to the front entrance of the zoo, and Ruth, what did she say? Do you remember what she said?
I think she was like saying goodnight to all of them or something.
Or she said
she
hello,
she was yelling
everyone.
Something.
Yeah.
And the whole zoo was like, they all were talking back to her.
But it was scary.
And then she said something like, goodnight, everybody, and they all shut up at the same time.
Yeah, and this is, they were, crazy. How many animals do you think she had?
I don't know. I think it was something like 12 or 13 acres and, I don't know, at least 50 different animals. I mean,
yeah.
She had a couple of buffalo.
Yeah.
Remember the elk that would break in and
yep.
steal the candy bars?
Yep.
You know, like, and they all had these personalities.
They did.
And somehow they all got along, but that was pretty amazing.
Her goal wasn't to have them on display. Her goal was to rehab them and move them along. But a lot of these, as Julie just said, weren't going to be returned to nature. So this zoo was sort of like this thing that the whole community kept after. There was a lot of love for it. And so anyway, back to pig racing. You see how I'm tying this in?
Yes.
All right. So this town over, I don't remember the name of it. There was this bar that Ruth didn't tell us why we needed to go there, but we went there. And so we walked into this bar, and it was exactly like you envisioned. A lot of really tall people wearing
cowboy
a lot of
types.
Cowboy types wearing a lot of really, plaid, the whole thing. It was badass. It looked like something out of an old Clint Eastwood movie.
Definitely.
Yeah. And that's just how they looked.
Yeah.
It was
normal.
Great.
We were the weirdos.
So we were, especially you.
Yeah.
So we walked to the back of this. It was a bar. And then it was an outside area. You remember what it looked like?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then there was this. It could only be described as a racetrack, and it was all fenced in, and it was, I think it was a loop, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wasn't it just
like
a big loop?
Like a dirt racetrack.
Right. And then there was a betting window, and you'd go up and you basically place your bets on which pig would win.
Yes.
Okay. And there was like maybe four or six pigs.
Yeah,
it was
terrible.
It was terrible. And then, so Julie and I, it was more than six. It was like maybe eight or 10. There was a lot of pigs.
A lot of pigs.
And I don't remember what they did to get the things to run around the track, but they did run.
They did.
So Julie and I bet. Did we bet on different pigs or the same pig? Do you remember?
I think we bet on just one and just randomly because we didn't know anything about pigs.
All right. So Julie and I bet on, pig racing. We were just like, okay, let's just get through this and, see what this experience is all about. And you know how you are when you're on vacation and you've never had an experience before. You're totally present and you're, all your senses, you're just picking up everything, because you're just
like, I just did what? I'm betting on pigs?
There's threat vectors everywhere, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
So, so it turns out the pig we bet on won.
I know.
So Julie and I won the pig race, and I think we won like $50.
Yeah.
Which we donated to the zoo.
Yeah.
Yeah, but here's the sad part of the pig race. You guys ready for this? And this is how it ties to Ruth's zoo. So it turns out being a winning pig racer is not the way to go if you want a long life, because it turns out, believe it or not, pigs aren't genetically designed to run, at least not run in a race. And so generally speaking, the pigs that win the race also quickly thereafter leave this earth as champions, at least, but they don't last.
Little pig heart attacks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know it sounds harsh, but here's the I think the good part of this story. Guess where the winning pigs end up? That's right, Ruth's Zoo. So yes. It's a circle of life.
That's right.
In Montana.
Exactly.
You don't even know what to say.
I don't know what to say. I mean, I'm trying to figure out how you're going to tie all this together.
I did it, though.
Yes,
that's what happened.
Circle of life.
And that was an experience that we'll never forget.
Yeah. I want to say that was maybe Nye, Montana, N-Y-E.
Nye was the town that Jack Hanna owned.
Yeah,
it was
right in that. I have to remember exactly where that was.
So if you remember where Red Lodge was, it was in this, essentially this, between two big
valley.
Mountain ranges. The Bear Tooth was in the. So Nye was up on the, if you go this direction, mm-hmm. and this little town was this direction.
I guess it was too
so it was
away.
Over a different ridge. Yeah, that's how it was. But in any event, that was a story that I'm sharing with all of you because you all have your own memories. And maybe in the back of your head, maybe your memory is about a beach town. Maybe your memory is about who knows where. Maybe it's someplace in a different part of the world where if you now have the flexibility to live where you want to live and have the lifestyle you want to have and still earn the amount of money that you want to earn and work and stay on the same career path, how many people are going to say, hell yeah, I want some of that?
Yeah.
Everybody is.
You know, a lot of people are. Coming here.
I mean, right.
We've had people recently land and, they're living the dream. And, to tie it into real estate, when I don't know if we said the story or not, but there's literally no inventory here either. There's lots of people moving here. And we went to check out new construction and here was her script. Big presentation. I have nothing to sell you. You can build, but it's going to take 2.5 years. So if you want to wait, that's great. And even with the new construction, there's a waiting list.
Right.
So it's pretty amazing.
It was.
So get in now if you're having these thoughts, because there's lots of different hot areas. I mean, even I've got a coaching client in Idaho, right? Is Idaho the first place you think is a hot market? Probably not. Maybe a few ski towns, right? She's got examples of houses doubling in price, actual sale price, year over year, or at least 2 years over 2 years.
But this great migration trend is not just a U.S.-based migration trend. Julie sprinkled some international facts on you guys, and we're reading these stories, and we share them on our main website, timandjulieharris.com, how people are essentially migrating out of London and out of Paris and out of these.
Italy's hot right now.
Right.
So one of the things.
Not just Italy, Julie, old medieval towns
in
Italy.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Okay, so one of the things that I'll bring to a Sunday show one of these days is discoveries from 2020 that didn't have a lot of reporting because everything else was going on. And one of the things that they're doing because of this migration partially is that they're excavating, they're rehabbing, they're taking these old medieval towns and they're turning them into, maybe they're multifamily, maybe they're a big castle that's getting done. And there's a lot of ancient artwork that's been discovered. There's all kinds of even on the East Coast, I read that it's the first time somebody discovered the burial of Revolutionary War soldiers under a house that was getting rehabbed in, I think, Connecticut.
That's incredible.
So there's a lot of these stories going on that are the result of a resurgence of going after some of these older properties. So we'll be reporting on some of that. Anyway, I lost my train of thought of
where we're
going because there's so much of this going on. But lots of great discoveries as a result of these ancient rehabs.
So we're going to pick up tomorrow where we left off today. Hopefully you guys are picking up from us that we are incredibly optimistic. And I hope you know that it's not false optimism, because if you listen to our past podcasts, when we think there's clouds on the horizon, when we think winter is coming, we have never held back telling you, ever. Even if it meant, frankly, fewer coaching sales, right? Even if it meant our own business wasn't going to do as well. We were wanting to tell you the truth, and we were wanting to tell you the truth as we saw it so that you could prepare. And I know that's the reason why so many of you have been with us for some cases decades, is because you guys know we're going to tell you the truth no matter what. You know we're not just going to follow trends. You know we're always going to basically baseline everything that we're telling you on you being of service to others and frankly making a lot of money so that you can be rich. Rich simply being where your money works for you. You don't have to work for your money. We are pushing you towards what we hope you will agree is going to be the best, 5, 10, 20 years of your entire life. It's not just for your business. It's going to be for your personal life as well. Take this, I was just talking with some friends that just moved here, mm-hmm. Jay and Amber Kinder, right? You guys in EXP will know who they are. And they just moved here to Puerto Rico. They're our neighbors. They live now 10 minutes away. And I was, sharing with Jay what Julie and I are doing. And we do this every year, so it's not anything new. Every year for us is like a rebirth. And we ask ourselves, what is it, where is it that we don't think we have to improve? That's the question we ask. We The answer is never and nothing, right? So there's no areas in our life where we don't need to improve. And then we say, we go, Julie and I will do just as we ask all of you guys to do. We'll go through the five categories of life. There, most people set up goals. This is all part of the real estate treasure map. And then we'll just focus on the three things that are the most important for us to, you know, essentially improve. And again, if there's anything that she thinks or I think that we don't need to stay, that we don't need to improve. Okay, I got that. I figured that out. That's good. That's the area that we know we need to improve on the most because we're becoming complacent in that particular area. For example, if you say, I am in great shape, I'm just going to maintain. No, you can't just maintain. You always have to be improving. My finances are perfect. I'm just going to maintain. Nope, same. My lead generation is perfect. It's just going to, no, same. Now I'm going to just, I'll drill down on that point, for example. So many of you listening have never learned how to be proactive lead generators. And don't worry, I'm not going to get on my, well, I am on my soapbox, but I won't be on for long. And the problem you have with never having learned how to be a proactive lead generator is you're always going to be beholden to essentially the ebbs and the flows of these different technology companies, which makes you incredibly vulnerable, which means you'll always have a business that's built on the thinnest of ice. And you've seen that just the past 12 months. How frequently have these tech companies that so many of you guys are thinking that you can build your businesses around, which you can't, but how many of these tech companies have essentially changed the rules, making all your efforts irrelevant? For example, how many of you had invested a lot of effort in TikTok of all things? Mm-hmm. And I know some, you know, oh, I don't like you talking about our, you know, your competitors, Tim and Julie. Well, I have to talk about them and we have to be direct about them because you guys have to see it for what it is. And when someone tells you to be investing yourself into, you know, any of these tech platforms for the sake of essentially establishing yourself as some sort of, you know, expert or guru and, you know, some sort of influencer type, if that's really what you think is going to lead to you making real estate sales, it's straight up wrong. That's just a lie. And the way that you really harm yourself is when you overinvest yourself in these things. And these companies change their algorithms. They change their rules. You know, 3-5 years ago was Facebook. Everyone's talking about Facebook. Nobody talks about Facebook anymore. And before that was blogs. And, you know, it's going to be other things and other things. So if you've never learned how to be a proactive lead generator, if you're always going to be beholden on the ebbs and the flows of these, you know, these tech czars. And I don't know about you, but that's never going to give you freedom. And it's certainly never going to give you any sort of longevity in real estate. So if you're going, if we could pass along one little, you know, prevailing piece of advice, dare we say, it would be to learn how to become a proactive lead generator and stop waiting. So when you're completing your real estate treasure map, and you're going to get a free copy of it, simply text 2021 to 855-685-1045. Text 2021 to 855-685-1045. Just remember, when you're writing down your sources of business, when you're creating your lead generation, the spokes on your wheel, if every single one of your spokes is basically circling around buying leads on some social platform, you do not have a wheel. You have basically tissue paper. You have to have your first spokes be the ones that are proactive lead generation, like we described to you in the series of podcasts we did 2 weeks ago on how to complete your real estate treasure map. So make sure you go back and listen to all of those. So we only got through 5 points. We have many more points to go. The next point's just a foreshadow. Point number five was just foreshadowing what I was just talking about. But it is a good point. You know, actually, I'll read you guys the point. We'll pick up vamping about it on our next show. Point number six is return of the art of having a real conversation. Mm-hmm. All the high-speed connectivity will result in people wanting to have real-life face-to-face, albeit video conversations. Apple Glass 5G will give agents who know how to truly communicate an unfair advantage. And we'll talk more about that on the show manana. In the meantime, please do continue to share this podcast with everyone you know. If you guys want to show gratitude towards us, which we certainly appreciate, please go to iTunes and please subscribe. Subscribing on iTunes tells iTunes that our podcast is something that they should be sharing with other agents, and that's what they do, and that helps us to live out our professional mission, which is being of service to as many people as possible. Help us. Go to iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating and also subscribe. We sincerely appreciate it. In the meantime, if you need us for anything, if you have any show ideas, we do listen, like the show we did yesterday and why we moved to Puerto Rico. That was an idea from a listener. Please just text me directly at 512-758-0206. Anything else you want to say to these guys, Jules?
Don't wait until it's actually January 1st to get cracking on that treasure map. You know, it's time's running out. 2021 is going to be a whole new adventure, so get that done.
So maybe your first rule that you have for yourself for 2021 is stop procrastinating.
Yep.
Right?
Getting ready to get started to someday feel like maybe possibly taking action if the sun is shining and your mom's not visiting.
Next week.
Right.
You guys have a great day.
This program has been a presentation by Tim and Julie Harris, Real Estate Coaching. For more information on our real estate coaching and training programs, visit our website at timandjulieharris.com. Remember to tune in weekdays at noon for upcoming shows. And until next time, thank you for listening to Real Estate Coaching Radio with Tim and Julie Harris.